The title for this message today is Promises Made to Abraham and to Christ. And I capitalize because I want to emphasize that the promises that we're speaking of were made to Abraham and to his seed, who is Christ. This month in our men's Bible study, we're speaking of one of the fundamental beliefs that we have in the United Church of God, and that is the promises to Abraham. That's coming up this next week, and so I've been studying, and I think most of our men will have been studying that as well. And our series this month is on the book of Galatians here in the congregational setting, so I've been approaching these two big topics simultaneously, and as I did, I began to see some really strong connection. I wanted to share that with you today. I want to take a quick look at the connection of these two important areas of Scripture, the spiritual meaning that is definitely a matter of salvation that we see in the promises to Abraham, but also in the book of Galatians. There are two main points I want to make today. There's far too much to cover in one sermon, and so I want to focus it down to two main points. That is that promises were made, and we know that, of course, but we're going to do a quick review of some of the passages in the book of Genesis. Our main focus today is on the promise of all nations being blessed by the seed of Abraham, by the seed that we know from the book of Galatians is Christ himself. The promises were given because Abraham believed. He had faith, and he was faithful. Not only did he have faith, but he followed up in the things that he did as a result. And so we'll consider briefly the faith of Abraham, and that we who are of faith are blessed with him. And also the second point then is the promise was kept and is being kept. Mostly today we'll be looking at what Paul wrote in the third chapter of the book of Galatians on that particular point. A few other things we'll fill in with as well. But to see these foundational truths that in the keeping of his promises to Abraham, God, through Jesus Christ, is making salvation available to all who have faith in Christ. This is a very strong part of our fundamental beliefs in the United Church of God. Point one, then, I want to look in Scripture at the place that describes the earliest communication in the Bible of God's words to Abraham. Where do you think you would look for that? It's in the book of Acts. In the earliest words of God that are recorded to Abraham as an individual. We look in Acts chapter 7, and this is from the deacon Stephen, who was inspired to defend his faith, and this is how he began. And he said in Acts 7, verse 2 and 3, and he said, men and brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. Now this precedes Genesis 12, before he left. And he said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. In verse 4, then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And so those words precede and give us some context to the words then in Genesis 12, where we see this same account, but now we pick it up after he has left Mesopotamia. And you can see that if you see the context, it helps to understand it a lot more. In chapter 12 of Genesis, verse 1 through 4. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, to Abram, he had said this, and as we saw in the book of Acts, it was said, while yet in Mesopotamia, he said, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. He begins to speak of these promises to Abraham, and these are among the truths in Scripture that help us to understand so much of the prophetic word, but also of what God is doing and how he is accomplishing that. He said, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And then this passage is our focus. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All of the families of the earth, not just the descendants by physical descendancy from Abraham himself, but all the families. This is Genesis 12 and verse 3. And then we see in verse 4, his faithfulness, his obedience to God. It simply says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And all through this, we see the faithfulness of Abram, later named Abraham, and how he responded to God. And his faith was very, very strong. Turn next to Genesis 22. And again, we're just taking a quick survey of some of the passages that speak of the promises being made. Here in Genesis 22, verse 14 through 18, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. In this account, it's when he was instructed by God to go to the mountain and to sacrifice his son. A very powerful story repeated in the different books of the Bible. And we're picking up the story in verse 14. This place is called the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. When God had provided that ram, that would be then the sacrifice instead of Isaac. It continues in verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. I realize that Isaac was there and would have heard this too. And this comes into our focus in the next passage, but I want you to see it here. This voice from heaven, and he said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord. This is an oath that is mentioned in several different passages of Scripture. It's one of the most important passages of God's promise to Abraham and to his seed. By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. In blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens, as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. There are many different aspects of these promises to Abraham. The one we're focusing on today is in the next verse, verse 18. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Again, it was Abraham's faith and Abraham's obedience to God is the catalyst for the blessings being given to him, the promises. And you see there, it was sworn by God that he would make sure that this would happen. This is the promise that draws our attention today. And there are many more, but this is the one we're looking at. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That's a very important and powerful promise. This event is written of several other times. And when the emphasis is on Abraham, is often speaking of his faith. And here's one example of that. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 11, very familiar, but we see it in the context. What I'm trying to do now is lay the foundation, see the foundation that has been laid. As we get to the book of Galatians, this will help us to understand the rest of that book more perfectly. Hebrews 11 and verse 17, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And so you see the emphasis is on his faith. And that's so important that we realize that. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So we see that it was the faith of Abraham that that was the catalyst for God giving that promise. But when the giving of this promise is mentioned elsewhere in Scripture with the emphasis on God, it's very clearly referring to the promise being kept through Christ. And we'll see this as we move into the New Testament references in just a bit. Remember, there are two entities here. There's Abraham, and there's God who was giving the promise, but also it was to his seed, to Christ. So actually three entities involved. God's promise was eternal, forever, everlasting, never to end. You see evidence of this in Genesis chapter 26. And this is just to illustrate how the promise was passed on to the next generation. And then it continues as well. We'll see more evidence of that. In Genesis 26, verse 1 through 5, there was a famine in the land. This is now after Abraham had died. Besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father." That oath is the one that we just read. "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." In verse 4, it says, "And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." See, that powerful spiritual lesson, superseding even the other promises of land and multitudes of descendants. The most important promise of all is this: "And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." That same promise was passed on to Isaac. And these promises were passed on to every generation since then. So again, realize that what he was telling Isaac here is something that Isaac himself had heard when it was first given. When the ram was there instead of Isaac to be the sacrifice. And then God promised that in his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Isaac heard it then, and he heard it again from the Lord. So review of point one, God promised Abraham. This is just cut it down and focus to this one tight thing. God promised Abraham that through his seed, there would be blessings for all the families of the earth. As we transition to point two, what is the spiritual meaning and the effect of that promise of the seed bringing blessings to all the families of the earth? What did Paul teach while he was in person with the members in Galatia? We read this last time a little bit, and I want to review it for those maybe who didn't hear it the first time. What did he teach when he went through Galatia on his first missionary journey? And then we'll understand why he wrote to them what he did in the book of Galatians. So it gives us a progression that we can follow, and again, tracking the promise that God had made. In Acts 13, let's turn there, and we'll see what he preached in Antioch as he went through the region of Galatia. In Acts 13 and verse 22, just breaking into this sermon that he gave there. And remember, this would be when the church in Galatia was first being established, when Paul and Barnabas had gone there and were now preaching this word, and people were being converted, having heard these words. Verse 22, "And when he had removed him," speaking of Saul, Paul is giving some of the history here of God's work in Israel. "When he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.' From this man's seed," see, now it's David's seed onward, "according to the promise God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. And so now the promise has been made more specific these many generations later, now to David the king. You can track it in Scripture by the genealogies from Abraham to David, and then from David to Christ. And so the promise then is that the Savior would be a king, not only a descendant of Abraham, but also a descendant of David, and would bear the kingly the role as well. And so we see this is identified directly as Jesus Christ. And this illustrates the promise of being passed on and still being kept. God is still keeping his promise at this time in history, and again, even expanding it. In chapter 13, verse 38 and 39, it says, "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, through Israel's Savior, Jesus, through the descendant of David, through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Everyone, not just those of the Jewish nation, everyone who would believe. And the things that are being mentioned here are the blessings which would come to them, the forgiveness of sins and being justified. These are enormous blessings for all of us who receive them. These are some of the spiritual blessings that we receive that are made available to all people as God keeps his promise to Abraham. In verse 47, "For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles." See, it's not anymore just to the Jewish people, but to the Gentile nations as well, "that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." God's promise was to bring salvation. It is enormously spiritual and powerful promise. And this is our focus. If we have this foundation, then later when we study Galatians more for the doctrinal things that are there, we're going to be able to understand the foundation of it. With our congregational focus this month on the book of Galatians, there are some of these points that are so important that we see before we get to the controversial kind of things that are there, to be able to see what we're building on. Now turn to the book of Galatians, if you will, in chapter 3. And we pick up these same thoughts. In chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 6 and 7, I want to read these from the NIV version. It says, "Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham." It's very, very clear. And so in the New King James, it says, "just as Abraham believed God." See, that is, again, the catalyst for the promise is this, faith, belief. And Paul here in this book of Galatians is speaking of that level of faith that brought that kind of promise. "Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." And so he's saying here that Gentiles who believe can also be counted as descendants of Abraham. It's really a remarkable area of Scripture if we'll pay attention to what God is doing. Continuing in verse 8 and 9, and we'll stay here in the New King James Version. "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith." When you look at the book of Galatians, if you could filter out the reason and the powerful things and then come and see the controversial things, you have a better way of understanding. "The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. You see, this keeps coming up. And not just here, it's in other books written by Paul as well. I thought about turning from the different ones, and we could build a very comprehensive doctrinal thesis on this. But I want to take this, each book individually, and address it to the congregations as he did when he wrote the book. He was writing here to Galatia, and he says this, and you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. We are blessed. They were blessed then with believing Abraham, the one who is the father of the faithful. In verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That curse of the law is some of the controversial things we'll get into in our next series on this book in a couple of weeks. But our focus today is why Paul is addressing this. Christ has redeemed us, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So if you pull from this, if you were diagramming that sentence, and you could put, Christ has redeemed us that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That's the reason. This is what he's writing about. In verse 15, he says, brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant. Yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. And he goes on and describes this. Now to Abraham and his seed, notice in the New King James, it's a capital S, to his seed where the promise is made. This is why I chose this title. The promises were not made only to Abraham. They were also made to his seed. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Very specific, and Paul wanted them to know this, to see it very clearly in the letter he wrote. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, but it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. And so in the promise of Abraham, the promise to the seed, we see this, that God gave it to him. God did confirm this. He confirmed it with that oath that we read in Genesis 22, and that is mentioned again. Hold your place here and turn to Hebrews chapter 6. When I'm studying a doctrinal point, I always like to see what are the strong areas of Scripture that support this. We just read that if it's confirmed, if an oath is confirmed, it cannot be changed. Look what it says in Hebrews 6, verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, brethren, you see the frequency of this coming to our attention draws our attention to the fact of how important it is to understand. And God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no one greater. He swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. It says in verse 15, so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promises. God keeps his promises, and he's still doing that. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hope the hope set before us. We see this, and it's emphasized at the highest level for us to understand, so that if we know this, that God is working, keeping his promise, then we can sort through the controversy better and say, how is God keeping his promise when it comes to the book of Galatians? And we'll see that. I found it very interesting. So we went and go through this and see that it was God's purpose and his plan to work out the destiny of the whole world through Abraham and his offspring, and specifically the one who is the seed, Jesus Christ. He will keep his promises today, his way. I found this interesting when I was noticing that the promise was to Abraham and to his seed. Is there another place in Scripture where we can see that? There is. Hold your place in Galatians. We'll turn quickly to Luke chapter 1 and the Song of Mary. We see this. I hadn't noticed this before. In Luke 1, verse 54 and 55, these are words that Mary was inspired to sing. It says it's a song. she spoke these out loud. In verse 54, it says, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. He spoke these to Abraham and spoke these to his seed forever. And we have an allusion there, a reference that shows that indeed this promise was not just to Abraham, but to his seed. The nation descended from him, sure, but most importantly, Jesus Christ, that seed who is Christ. The higher spiritual truths of this are our focus today. In Galatians 3, in verse 26, we pick it up. This, if you see in the context of this book, the most important points, this is surely among them. Verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It doesn't matter their lineage. He goes on. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. When we have been baptized and receive his Holy Spirit, we become a son or a daughter of God, just as much as anyone else who ever was a son or a daughter of God. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. Gentiles were brought into this family, the family of God, the family of Abraham, and they are heirs according to the promise. That's a lesson that took many years for the church to understand as the church was young in that first century. Christians, whoever we are Abraham's true spiritual descendants. As it says here in the same chapter in verse 7, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. We're part of that family that God is blessing. Through him, all the families of the earth are blessed. We are heirs of the promise to Abraham, that through his seed, who is Christ, we may be saved. That's the point. We may be saved. We may become the children of God. In Galatians 4, verse 4 through 6, speaks of this, carrying on this theme. But when the fullness of the time had come, when the time had come for this part of God's plan to be worked out, for the promise to be kept, to bring it up to the time of Christ's own life and ministry, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born into the lineage of Abraham, born into the lineage of David, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So we have this, brethren. The promise brings us into the family of God. The promise of being blessed brings us into being his own sons and daughters through faith in Christ. What an awesome promise and blessing to contemplate, to anticipate, to experience, and to embrace, and to devote our lives to attaining. So God made the promise to faithful Abraham, and God is keeping his promise to every faithful person. He is making salvation available to all of humanity through Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ. And by faith, just as it was with Abraham, we too will be saved. Having this foundation of God's truth and purpose in mind, in a couple of weeks, we'll be able to consider some of those doctrinal conflicts and controversies that Paul had to address in his later letter to the Galatians. And these are the same issues that we often have to address within the church today. But I wanted this to be the foundation of our understanding so that we could have that in place and then consider those lesser things in the book. Lesser important, but so important that we understand so that we don't fall into the same trap as many before us. Brethren, what a tremendous God we have who has given us the blessings of Abraham and the blessing of his seed, Jesus Christ.